Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to depart from our regular programming to bring a special message on Easter. Easter, I think, is one of the greatest Christian observances. Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the very foundation of the Christian faith. And I want to talk about the triumph of Easter. I want to talk of it in three phases: the triumph of life over death, the triumph of joy over sorrow, and the triumph of hope over despair. Death is a terrible thing. Death is never annihilation. Death is separation. When we speak of physical death, we speak of the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. They are no longer together. When we speak of spiritual death, we speak of the separation of the soul from God. That is tragic indeed, for there is so much to enjoy in God, and God enjoys his people, and he enjoys. God is long-suffering, we read in the scripture, and not willing that any should perish. God longs, and this is a mystery to me, the infinite condescension of God, that he would seek after our company, but he longs for it. He wants to be a blessing, and he wants to bless us. Now, death is caused by sin. Sin caused the separation between Adam and Eve and God. God came down in the cool of the day after Satan had tempted them to disobey the Lord. God came down in the cool of the day seeking after Adam, and Adam had a guilty conscience. He knew that he had sinned against God. Satan drove that wedge between God and man, his creature. He was jealous of man because man had been made indeed to have dominion over the earth. Now, God called out, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" Adam had hid himself among the trees of the garden. And you know that God has been seeking men ever since that day. And he wants to seek them, but sin has caused a rift. It has caused a division. And sin has separated us from God. But the triumph of life over death occurs at the Easter season in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Now, there is a very real sense that you and I experience a resurrection from the dead, because we are dead in trespasses and sins. Sin has separated us from God. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 5 and verse 24 says there on that occasion, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This is the way to obtain spiritual life. It is through faith, he that heareth my word, and we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Christ's words have been preserved, and they're just as real today as they were in that day when he spoke them. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is personal, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," the Father sent the Son. Why did he send him in this world? He sent him into this world to be the Savior of all mankind. And the Lord Jesus, in this sublime statement, says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into come." First of all, he has everlasting life. If you believe it, if you trust in it, God the Spirit brings the life of Christ within you. The moment that you believe that you're a sinner, the moment that you trust Christ, that his death on the cross washed away your sins, took care of the sin problem, the moment that you put your trust in him, you're saved. And nobody ever put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and was disappointed. Never. Now, he says, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," shall not come into judgment, "but is passed from death unto life." We, in a very, very real sense, experience a resurrection. This is repeated in John chapter 11. We read there about Martha's encounter with the Lord Jesus, and we read in verse 24 of the 11th chapter of John, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Her brother Lazarus had died. And they sent for the Lord Jesus to come, but the Lord delayed, and Lazarus died in the meantime." And Martha says, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead," dead in sins, "though he were dead, yet shall he live." This is the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This verifies, this is a continuation of John chapter 5 and verse 24. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And the Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, dead in sins, yet shall he live." We experience the power of resurrection when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the triumph over sorrow. For the disciples, the Lord prepares their hearts in John chapter 14 for his decease. He knows what a shock it's going to be to them. He told them time after time that he was going to be crucified at Jerusalem, and after 3 days that he would rise again. But the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was so foreign, so alien to the thinking of his disciples, they never heard him when he spoke about the fact he was going to die. How could their Messiah die? Well, he died our death. He died for you and for me, for our sins, that we might have to account for them. You remember the scripture says, "Their soul that sinneth, it shall die." The wages of sin is death. And the Lord collected our wages for us. He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that we might go to heaven, that God might, in the realization of all his holiness, might forgive us our sins, because they have already been paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord is preparing the hearts of his disciples. He knows what a shock it's going to be when he dies. And he says in John chapter 16, verse 22, he speaks to them and he says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." I think they were probably realizing to a little degree that he was going to die. "And ye therefore now have sorrow. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Your heart shall rejoice. Sorrow first, and then joy. The triumph of joy over sorrow. And there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends upon circumstances, but joy depends upon facts. And our joy is going to be just as real as the joy of those disciples. There is a message for all of the Lord's own in this day and age. There is first of all trial, and then joy. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 inclusive, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," manifold trials. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory of the appearing, at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Yes, there is the triumph of joy over sorrow. Sorrow in our circumstances, and God brings joy. And the resurrection in a peculiar way brought joy to all the Lord's own. The Lord told them, "You're sorrowful now, but you're going to be filled with joy. Your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you." And oh, that joy is confirmed in the scriptural account themselves. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And then, in the third sense, the triumph of Easter is the triumph of hope over despair. Despair is a terrible thing. And in the 24th chapter of Luke, the disciples were in despair. We read there, beginning at verse 13 rather, of the 24th chapter of Luke, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He had risen from the dead, but they didn't know it. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, which ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? The Lord is playing on their heartstrings. And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified, condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. And here they are, completely in despair. Now these two disciples went on, and the Lord went on with them, and he explained to them out of the Scriptures all the things concerning himself and how his death was expected. Now, and outlined in the Scripture, as a matter of fact, in the Old Testament. They invited him to stay and eat with them, not knowing who their guest was. He broke the bread, and they recognized him instantly. Their hearts were so full of joy and hope that they left their home and went back to Jerusalem and told the disciples that the Lord was risen indeed. And while they were there, while the disciples were gathered together, Jesus himself appeared in the midst of them, and they were terrified. They thought they'd seen a spirit. And he says, It's me. Give me some food. I'll eat it before you. And he ate the food before them, and their hearts, their despair turned into hope, and hope triumphed over despair. Death is an enemy. Sorrow is an enemy. And despair is an enemy. But the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ triumphs over them all. And oh, the fact that we're going to see the one who loved and died for us. That is hope indeed. Our Father, today we pray that you'll make the precious truths of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus stable and abiding in our souls. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.